the Roxy, the Troubadour, and the Starwood. 30 years later, all but the Starwood are still going strong. To make a living while trying to make my mark in the music business, I took a job as a doorman at Doug Weston's Troubadour. Since then, I've filled just about every role in the industry. Mixologist, kitchen manager, general manager, food and beverage director, VP of operations, and owner. Today, I run the largest bar and restaurant trade show in the industry and oversee a whole suite of trade publications as president of the nightclub and bar, NCB Media Group. But I can't forget the impact the Troub had on my business philosophy and the principles that guide me today. This famous club dates back to 1957 and made worldwide headlines in 1963 when Lenny Bruce was arrested for cursing on its stage. It has launched or helped establish the careers of some of music's most talented performers and bands, including James Taylor, Carole King, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue, and Wasp. In my case, though, the Troub cemented a passion for the bar and nightclub business. My energy, commitment, enthusiasm, and passion for honesty and integrity, as you'll learn in the audiobook, were forged there and helped me succeed as its manager in a surprisingly short time. From day one on the doorman job, it was very apparent to me that the club had no controls. Employees ate, drank, and gave the profits away by comping customers, by giving away food and drinks to their friends, and by overpouring alcohol without a second thought. This legendary venue was packed every night because of its amazing entertainment, but it never made money. As manager, I ran the place with cash from a safe, always hoping I would have enough money in there to buy the necessary products and pay the staff. Fixing the Troubadour meant managing people who had never before been supervised or told what to do, and how to do it. The rock and roll workforce tested my management chops, but somehow I kept everyone in line and motivated without setting off a mutiny. That was a powerful lesson for me. As a young rookie with no previous training, I learned how to say no, take control, and straighten out a totally disorganized venue. My success at the Troub gave me the confidence to tackle other challenges, accomplish difficult tasks, and meet goals often by sheer will and desire. I have my late mother to thank for the valuable skills that helped me achieve early success. She was a very demanding woman who set very high standards for herself and for me. Without going into too much detail, my relationship with her required that I learn how to understand, predict, and react to her shifting energy and moods accurately in order to get results that were the best for both of us. I left the Troub to bartend down the street at Barney's Beanery. As a manager at the Troub, I made $250 a week. But as a bartender at Barney's, I could make about $600 a week in those days. It was one of the hottest bartending jobs in the city. So it was a question of income as to why I went from manager to bartender. And honestly, the three bands a night at the Troub were wearing on me. But when Barney's asked me to become a manager again, I made the tough decision to give up that extra income in the short run, because I knew that ultimately being in management would advance my career in the long run. It's a decision every really good bartender has to make. Even though Barney's had more systems in place than did my previous gig, like better shift scheduling and a well-managed kitchen, it suffered from poorly supervised front-of-house workers. There is no replacement for a fully engaged manager who is present and aware of what's happening on his watch. Within 10 minutes of taking my place behind the bar, the lead bartender pulled me aside and said very matter-of-factly, "John, we steal here. Each of us takes $100 a night. So if you don't take your money, the cash registers will be out of whack and the boss will know something's up." I was summarily taught how to cheat the register and use the tip cup as a bank. This behavior, I knew, wasn't for me. I couldn't treat someone, in this case Barney's owner, with respect while simultaneously stealing from him. The bartender was putting me in a very uncomfortable position, but there was no way I was going to go along with the long-standing tradition and look the owner in the eye knowing what was going on behind his back.